to the village. They reached the village of Emmaus, and Jesus manifested to them as he broke bread. They recognized it was Jesus, and Jesus disappeared. And Jesus had been walking with them all along the way, and they didn't know it was him. Now, it was already dark, and nobody travels after dark. But in their excitement, in Luke 24, they went back quickly to the disciples to tell them what Jesus had appeared to them. In their excitement, they check out of the hotel that same night. I mean, they just check into the inn. And that very same night, they check out. I'm sure the innkeeper say, "Hey, why so fast?" And they say, "We can't explain to you, but you remember that three came in? Yes. Well, two are coming out." When they came out rushing in the heat of the night, and they came to the disciples knowing where they were, and they announced, "We have seen Jesus." The response in verse 13, they did not believe them either. See, that was the theme we were trying to show. It was very thick in the Gospel of Mark. That the hardness of heart was still there. And finally, Jesus, in verse 14, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And look at what he did in verse 14. Look at what Jesus did. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So Jesus was speaking to them and telling them, "Why didn't you believe?" And he rebuked them. He scolded them. And then Jesus said, "Go and preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Notice, it's not he who is not baptized, but he who does not believe. "And these signs will follow those who believe." Now Jesus is emphasizing here that we must believe. And as he's spoken unto us, we must believe. His methods, we must believe who he is. And the disciples were struggling with the methods that he worked with. And Jesus said, "Don't struggle, only believe. Only believe. Don't struggle, only believe." Now finally, here's the conclusion in the Gospel of Mark. And that's where the impact comes to us. Jesus says, "Go and preach the gospel to the world. If you believe, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." Say, "Believe." It says, "In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, you by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Now we are the ones who will begin the Mark 1 story again. That's what Mark is trying to get. You must see that Mark is actually one whole letter without chapters and verses. The whole gist of what he's getting to is so that finally we see his conclusion here, that as Jesus laid hands in chapter 1, here finally as we come to the point where Jesus knew the Father and Jesus accepted the methods of the Father to his life. He says, "Not my way, but yours be done." Now we are sent by Jesus. We acknowledge who Jesus is. And Jesus also gives us certain methods to start with. And he says, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." We must believe. We must not walk in disbelief or unbelief. And so here we are in the 20th century. We still have the Gospel of Mark. We still have the same commandments. And if we respond, like what they respond? Finally, they responded in verse 19. "So then after the Lord," the first time the word Lord is now used officially, "has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and they announced everywhere. They preached everywhere. Jesus is alive. They preached and they announced everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. That's what God does in their life. Now, turn over the Gospel of Luke 24 for a moment, because there was something that Jesus did in their lives that we want to see too. Verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Did you notice that? Something happened on that day when Jesus appeared to the 11. Remember how they had a difficult time believing? Now Jesus opened their understanding, not to the spirit world yet, because that will continue to come. He opened their understanding to the scriptures. And so what we all should do is, having acknowledged who He is and He continues to manifest who He is to us, we need to have our understanding open to the scriptures, which the day that you were born again, the day the Holy Spirit came into your life, the scriptures were open to you. And now all that is left for us in order to move into the fullness of what God has for us is to take these scriptures, take what is written. And you know the one problem why the disciples found it hard to believe the methods of Jesus? Why he told them 3 times that he's going to be crucified and raised and they couldn't believe? Because they didn't have scriptural backing. They had no comparison to compare. They had it from the mouth of Jesus, but they had not enough scriptures in their life to compare and establish. You see, the revelation coming in must be responded with the word coming into you. Later on, you find that the disciples in the book of Acts quote scriptures on the resurrection of Jesus like they knew it by heart. Philip knew it in Acts chapter 8 when he talked to the eunuch about Isaiah. Peter knew it in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3 as he was preaching. He quoted scriptures about the resurrection of Jesus. See, when we have the scriptures to establish the revelation we receive, it is sealed in our life. It is sealed in our life. Until you have the scriptures, it is still in a twilight zone. It is still not sealed. But the day the Lord opened your understanding to the scriptures, which we have to keep praying for that to enlarge in our life in Ephesians 1 verse 17 and 18. The day you open and we see in the scriptures and in the light of what God is revealing to us, the truth is sealed in our life. God may have spoken to your life about Him being Jehovah Rapha. Perhaps He speaks to your life about healing in your life or miracle in your life. You have the revelation given to you. It came in a vision. It came in a dream. But until the scriptures are enlightened to you, until you know that you know this is scriptural, there will still be doubts in your life. As long as there are doubts, there will be unbelief. As long as there's unbelief, the power of God cannot work. Know in the depth of your heart what the scripture says about the revelations of God. And when you believe accordingly, you can have your miracle, whatever area. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come before You even tonight. And we know, God, that there are different things in our life that we are struggling with. And we know, God, that You're revealing Yourself in different aspects of each one of our life. Some of us are beginning to see Jesus as a prophet, some to see Jesus as our high priest, some to see Jesus as our healer, some to see Jesus as our savior. But God, we are beginning to see Jesus for who He is. And for ministers, some of us are beginning to see Jesus as our real pastor, as our pastor. We begin to see Jesus as the evangelist. We begin to see Jesus as a prophet. We begin to see Jesus as the apostle. And we can allow His wholeness to work in our life. And we pray, O God, that You will open the right scriptures to each one of us here, so that as we see Him and are changed into that same image, we are also, O God, established in Your Word. So we ask that You open the understanding of each one of us to the exact, precise Word that You have. Father God, there's only one hindrance between us and the fullness of God. It's somehow in that one word, unbelief, hardness of heart. Father, there's only one thing that stands between the fullness of God and the manifestation of God in our life, in Your promises. Unbelief, Lord, and hardness of heart. We pray, O God, that right now, tonight, whatever miracle each one here has or needs, that You would remove totally all unbelief. Help them, Lord, to accept who You are to their lives. And open their understanding to receive the scriptures that are relevant to their situation. We thank You, Father God, that revelation comes from You as we wait upon You. You knew how the disciples were in unbelief, and You exhorted them to believe so that they could see signs and wonders. So, Father God, we live in times when it's easier to question and be in unbelief. Help us to understand You're the same God who parted the waters, who opened the Red Sea. You're the same God who fed Your people with manna. You're the same God who caused water to come out of a rock. You're the same God who brought all the quails to feed the Israelites. You're the same God who sent the ravens to feed Elijah. You're the same God who stopped the sun and the moon to Joshua. Oh God, we cannot fathom these kind of signs and wonders fully. We don't understand how it happened, but we know it can happen. In fact, as we look at our situation today, we know You're the same God. You rule over the universe, the atoms, the molecules, the small things and the big things, stars and the galaxies. You're Almighty God. You're the God, O God, who is able to heal every sickness and disease. We pray, O God, that this faith will penetrate into the hearts and lives of each one of those who are sick. Let it sink into the understanding that they don't have to, because Jesus Christ has taken all sickness and disease. Let this truth, O Lord, penetrate into the hearts and lives of those who are in need. Cannot the Almighty God who provided ravens for Elijah, fed His people with manna for 40 years, clothed them so that their shoes did not wear out, nor their clothes wear out, could not the same God provide you with a good job? Why do you doubt? Could not the same God lead you in your education and help you to be a success in life? Why do you doubt? Could not the same God who caused the withered hand to be made whole, who caused nameless leprosy to disappear, could not the same God bring wholeness to your body? Could not the same God transform your body? Have you not heard, have you not read how Abraham was sterile and his body beyond natural capability of reproducing? In Sarah's womb, barren, and yet, because they believe in a God, because they see the vision of God, because they hold fast to the promise of God, they had Isaac. Nothing is impossible. Jesus says all things are possible to him who believes.